insights, interviews, and best practices by clinicians for clinicians. Welcome to GE Healthcare's Clinical View Podcast.
Hi, I am Dr. Nicola Cosentino, and welcome to this podcast series on COVID-19 and ECG, sponsored by GE Healthcare. Today's topic will be on clinical evidence in COVID-19 and ECG. So, after 2.5 years of facing cardiovascular patients with COVID-19, we've more and more appreciated the close association between COVID-19 and ECG. And I would start from 2 points. First, thus far, the medical evidence shows that cardiovascular patients have not an increased risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection. But, and this is the second point, when they have the SARS-CoV-2 infection, they have a significantly higher risk of complications as compared to those patients without a history of cardiovascular disease. So, the next question is, does COVID-19 affect the myocardium? And the answer is yes. COVID-19 can actually cause myocardial injury through several mechanisms, both ischemic and non-ischemic, including cytokine storm effects and direct myocardial injury. And when myocardial injury occurs, as assessed by the increase in high-sensitivity troponin levels in these patients, early mortality may increase up to 10 times. The mechanisms underlying the association between COVID-19 and acute myocardial injury are actually the same responsible for ECG alterations. Indeed, thus far, no specific ECG changes have been described in COVID-19 patients, so that we might assume the infection does not translate into characteristic ECG manifestations in the majority of patients. However, in severe COVID-19 patients, ECG acute changes may occur, and they do reflect the mechanisms underlying the ongoing cardiac injury. So, until now, several studies have been published focusing on ECG manifestations during SARS-CoV-2 infection. And what do we know? We do know that the QRS complex is wider in COVID-19 patients with elevated troponin or brain natriuretic peptide values. And this is the same for the QT correct interval, which has been shown to be longer in patients with elevated troponin or brain natriuretic peptide values. So that when myocardial injury occurs during SARS-CoV-2 infection, the QRS complex may become wider and the QT correct interval may become longer. Importantly, the more severe is the clinical picture in terms of respiratory and hemodynamic impairment, the longer is the QT correct. Not only the QT correct is associated with the clinical picture and with the ongoing acute myocardial injury, but also QT correct dispersion does. Briefly, QT dispersion is the difference between the longest and the shortest QT correct interval in the 12-lead ECG. And in COVID-19 patients, the more severe is the clinical picture and the longer is the QT correct dispersion. Moreover, QT correct dispersion is greater in non-surviving patients. And this ECG parameter is a critical prognostic marker, especially in younger patients, in patients younger than 65 years hospitalized with COVID-19. And we know that QT correct dispersion mainly depends on the difference in T-wave morphology across the 12 leads. Interestingly, about 5% of hospitalized COVID-19 patients do show a new T-wave inversion in the ECG. And if a new T-wave inversion occurs, mortality is about 25%, while the need of invasive mechanical ventilation is 30%. In addition, when ECG alterations occur with simultaneous increase in troponin value, overall survival may be only 50% in COVID-19 hospitalized patients, so that ECG and troponin have a synergistic prognostic effect. In particular, if new T-wave inversion occurs in all leads and troponin levels are increased, well, in-hospital mortality may rise up to 80%. Finally, it is important to repeat ECG along hospitalization. In particular, ECG at 7 days is critical as the cytokine storm occurring during COVID-19 usually is present between day 5 to day 15. If ECG at 7 days is abnormal, especially if it shows an increase in heart rate more than 20% or a new acquired wide QRS complex, the rate of in-hospital mortality and the need of orotracheal intubation is very high. Similar data have been also observed when investigating the prognostic impact of new ST segment alterations. Of note, the presence of a new ST segment deviation is associated with higher troponin values and with a worse prognosis, particularly if this occurs later during hospitalization, again at 7 days since hospital admission, as this reflects the ongoing oxygen supply demand imbalance due to arterial hypotension, hypoxemia, sepsis, and anemia, or less frequently due to coronary plaque activation, disruption, and thrombosis. Moving on, we know that not only ECG may be acutely abnormal, but also the risk of arrhythmia is common among COVID-19 patients. Indeed, 20% of hospitalized COVID-19 patients have cardiac arrhythmias, atrial or ventricular, and have a higher incidence is even been observed among those patients requiring ICU admission, nearly 50% of them, with malignant ventricular arrhythmias, such as ventricular tachycardia or ventricular fibrillation, occurring in up to 6% of COVID-19 patients requiring ICU admission. All spectrum of arrhythmias has been observed in hospitalized COVID-19 patients, both ICU and non-ICU wards, but the most frequent ones are sinus tachycardia, about 40% of patients, premature ventricular complex, about 25% of patients, atrial fibrillation, about 12% of patients, and new onset atrial fibrillation in about 6% of patients, and non-sustained ventricular tachycardia, nearly 15% of the study population. However, the most dangerous arrhythmias, most closely associated with a worse prognosis, are basically four: new onset high degree atrial ventricular block, new onset atrial fibrillation with rapid ventricular rate, polymorphic ventricular tachycardia, and sinus tachycardia with new left bundle branch block. Well, if these arrhythmias are encountered, one of them, the risk of invasive mechanical ventilation and the risk of needing ECMO or even dying during hospitalization may be high, very high. Now, regardless of the underlying arrhythmia, faster heart rates are always an ominous sign as they reflect the ongoing respiratory and hemodynamic impairment. So, in conclusion, we know that ECG is a very useful tool when managing COVID-19 patients, as any ECG alterations, by reflecting the ongoing cardiac injury, identify those patients, COVID-19 patients, at higher risk of complications who need to be closely monitored and urgently treated. Thank you for listening to this podcast on clinical evidence in ECG and COVID-19. The next podcast of this series will be on who to ECG monitor in COVID-19 patients.
Thank you for listening to Clinical View Podcasts, brought to you by GE Healthcare. Expand your view at clinicalview.gehealthcare.com.